Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 28, because I'm the only one probably that's not there. All right. Now, I finished a series last week that went for about 9 or 10 weeks called Ministering in Maturity. When I got through with that, I sat down in my bedroom in my little chair that I have there in the bedroom, and I was just asking God. I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I really don't know where you want me to go now. And the Lord spoke a phrase into my spirit, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. This is what you want to do? I mean, it just seemed weird to me. I don't know. I'm not the boss, so I don't get to choose the subjects. But when he said that one to me, it kind of took me aback. And so we're going to dive into it, because he knows why and he knows the reason and he knows what he's doing. And I heard him say to me, teach the people how to recognize a familiar spirit. Teach the people how to recognize a familiar spirit. And so that's what we're going to do. So 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're going to begin to read at verse 3. We're going to read, this is a story, so we're going to have to go down in it a while, so follow along, okay? Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land during that time that Samuel was alive. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, and that's something that the priests used to discern the will of God, or by the prophets. God was silent. And there was a reason for that. The reason that God was silent was Saul, because Saul had disobeyed him and had put God's will second to the will of the people. And Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, hey, in fact, there's a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And when you have to disguise yourself to go do something, that's never a good thing. Okay, so Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. And the woman said to him, hey, look at here. You know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, well, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, okay, the woman saw something she wasn't expecting here. All right, something caught this woman off guard. And when she saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a spirit ascending out of the earth. And so he said to her, what does he look like? What is his form? And she said, he's an old man coming up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. And Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? See, Samuel had already told Saul what to do when he was alive. But Saul's seeking another answer. He's trying to find an alternative answer to what God's already said to him. And he says, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing for you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. And the Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Now, this passage to me has always been a real interesting one. Because when you read the Bible, you can see very plainly that God forbid his people to seek through the spirit world through mediums and spiritists. He had forbidden that in his law. Yet in this instance, it seems like he used one to deliver a message. And this has always been a real confusing situation to me. And the Bible teaches us that we are to judge the message that we receive, but we're also supposed to judge the messenger as well. Because Satan loves to come to us in disguise, and he loves to give us just enough scripture to get us deceived and off track in our walk with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says this: it's no wonder that these things happen, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He will disguise himself as an angel of light to try to deceive. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it gives us this admonition. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits," not just the message, but the spirit. "Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So there are people seeking to give a prophetic message undercover, but are really being motivated or driven or manipulated by a spirit that is not from God. And so we as the people of God have an admonition to not only just examine the message, but to examine the spirit that is motivating the messenger. Isn't that a good word? It is. And so, in this passage in 1 Samuel, we see Saul, because of his disobedience, getting no answers from God. And even though Saul had banned those using magic arts from the kingdom, he sought a medium out to get answers regarding the battle with the Philistines. Now, it's easy to ascertain from this reading that the woman used methods to inquire that were forbidden for use under the law of God. What was this woman using? And why is it so dangerous to the people? That's a little bit what we want to talk about this morning. So let's try and answer that. What was this woman using? And why was it so dangerous to the people? Now, I made mention of the law before, that God had forbidden his people to work through spiritists and mediums and other type of people to seek the spirit world. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6, that's just one place that it said that to them. It says there, "If a person turns to mediums and necromancers," and we'll talk a little bit more about what that is in a minute, "whoring after them." Wow. Powerful words. "I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people." As God was giving his people laws to live by, he made it clear, very clear, that there were certain methods that were not of him that could be used to get access into the spirit world. And God commanded them never to use mediums or necromancers or other type of people, spiritists, in their pursuit of answers. In Leviticus chapter 20 and 27, I have to give you a little bit of scripture on this morning so you'll know I'm not lying to you. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 27, it says, "A man also or woman that has a familiar spirit," everybody say a familiar spirit, "shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them." A familiar spirit. What does that mean? And what are mediums? And what are these necromancers? And who are these people that the people of God were forbidden to go to consult? All right, well, let's answer that question. Number one, let's see what a medium is. First of all, let's talk about what a medium is. And the word itself, medium, kind of gives you a little bit of an idea about what this person does. A medium is a person thought to have the power to communicate with the spirits of the dead or with agents of another world or dimension. And they're also called, often they're called a psychic. So a medium, the name medium tells us a little bit about it. A medium was somebody who stood in the middle between someone looking for an answer from the spirit world and some type of spirit seeking to give them answers to questions that they have so that they could relay those answers back to the seeker who had come. So this medium is in contact with spirits. Okay, so well, what about a necromancer then? What in the world is that? Well, here's what necromancy is. It's the practice of supposedly communicating with the spirits of the dead in order to predict the future. The practice of supposedly communicating with the spirits of the dead in order to predict the future. So both of these sets of people, both of these types of people, what their job was to be able to predict what was going to happen by talking to either spirits of the dead or other spirit agents. Now, we know through the Bible that when people die, they die once and they're gone. Their spirits are not somewhere walking around. I know you see movies. How many of you have seen the movie Ghost? And the guy's spirit's walking around. And then there's this other movie where this woman, her husband dies, and he keeps hanging around the house, you know, and he's just around there. Listen, the Bible tells us it's appointed for man once to die and then face the judgment. It tells us that this world is not a place where dead people, I see dead people, it's not a place where dead people are hanging around with unfinished business. They're not doing that. The Bible teaches us that once we die, we either go to a place of punishment where if we haven't served Him and haven't been in Christ, and we go to a place of punishment until the final judgment, and if we've been serving Him and we're children of God, then we go into paradise with Him. We're kept there in Abraham's bosom there with everybody until the final judgment day comes and God changes everything and sets everything right. Okay, so these dead people are not walking around. So who are these people talking to? They're talking to spirits. They're talking to demonic spirits. They're not talking to angels. Okay, they're not talking to angels of God. Because angels of God point all the glory and all of the focus back on Jesus. You can see when John had his vision in the book of Revelation, there was an angel there that was helping guide John through much of the revelation. And John even fell down on his knees one time to worship this figure that was taking him through and showing him all these wonderful things. And this angel said, "Do not do it. Do not worship me. I am a fellow servant of Jesus. Worship him. Worship him," and pointed him back to Jesus. But these people, because they're not using God and to try to seek their answers, they've got to get them from somewhere else. And they're getting them from demonic spirits that in some instances are masquerading as something or something else. Okay, so let's talk about a familiar spirit for a second. What is a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is defined as a spirit or demon used by a witch or wizard as their personal guide. As their personal guide. Often appearing in the form of a human or some type of humanoid type appearance, or sometimes said to appear in the form of an animal. How many of you have ever seen shows where there's a witch in the show and she's got a black cat or a raven sitting on a post or a black cat always hanging around her? There's a reason for that. They believe that those animals are their spirit guides, that their spirit guides are in the form of those animals. Did you know that? You know, we play around with a lot of this stuff. You know, we just play with it and we think it's harmless. And a lot of it really has some powerful stuff behind it that you might not really want to get in contact with or have anything to do with. You know, I mean, seriously. And so these familiar spirits, why are they called familiar? Because it was something that these people contacted over and over again. They had a familiarity with it. All right, the word familiar is a Latin word that literally means household servant. And so these people were using these spirits or were in contact with these spirits, and these spirits were telling them things that they ought to do, giving them directions, showing them what the future was going to be or trying to, and would appear to them in several different forms, often to try to deceive the very medium and spiritists themselves about their motive. All right? So let's talk about that a second. Now you understand why this type of communication is prohibited by God's people. These so-called guides may appear as many forms to fool the medium or the necromancer, but they're actually demons that are seeking to lead people. Most of the time, the mediums and necromancers or spiritists believe these guides are sent to help them. And in some cases, they actually believe that they even control these spirits. But the reality is, now let's talk about reality. The reality is that demons have their own agenda. And it doesn't include blessing you. Now they'll use you up. They'll use you up to further their own agenda. But their agenda doesn't include blessing you. And they have their own agenda and you're not in control of it. They're under one authority, and that authority is called Satan. And above that authority structure, they only recognize one more name as an authority, and that's the name of Jesus through his lordship. They only recognize one more name. They don't recognize your name as an authority. They're liars. They're birthed out of the womb of the father of lies. They're liable to tell you anything. They're liable to promise to you anything to get you involved in their agenda. They lie. They don't feel bad about lying. That's part of their plan. They have a desire to do certain things, and they'll use whatever it takes to get that agenda done. All right? Now, many people, and even some people who follow the name of Christ, use some of these methods that are used by these spirits to try to get answers to things. And I'm going to step on a few toes this morning. I hope you have your steel-toed boots on today. And the intent, again, is not to restrict you, but I feel a real responsibility to see us all grow up in the Lord. And one of the things that happens in 2 Kings, and I believe it was chapter 17, the children of Israel were not doing well at that point in time in their history. And one of the reasons they were not doing well at all was because they were seeking the Lord, but at the same time they were seeking the Lord, they were also involved with other type of idolatrous practices. And because of that, there was a pollution of their power. They were having power outages. Holy Spirit power outages. Listen, if it's not God, I don't care if you can pick that chair up and stick it to the ceiling. I don't care. If that's not being done through the Holy Spirit, I don't want to have anything to do with that. You can have that thing. I don't care about that. And the people were still involved, and they were still seeking guidance over their lives and looking for direction and playing around with all of these different types of things that were being manipulated and controlled by the spirit world and not the good spirit world. And so here we are as believers, and sometimes we just start messing around with things. Sometimes we get involved in a seance, or we'll start messing around with a Ouija board. Or we'll get to the place where we start reading the horoscope. They named it right. It's a horror. Every week, every day, every week. Well, let me see what's going to happen today. Why don't you ask God what's going to happen today? The Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have to see how planets align to... I bet you five, God didn't even align those planets to give you any type of message other than the one that he rules over heaven and earth. And that man didn't make that kind of stuff, but that he did. And we get involved in these type of things. And you know, we get involved in fortune telling. We sit down, you know, we get to the with the carnival and we see a lady in a tent with a crystal ball. And we think, wouldn't this be fun to see what she says? Wouldn't it be fun to see, let somebody read my palm? Wouldn't it be fun? Where do you think these people get these answers from? Why do you go? Usually the fortune teller lives in the worst house in town. You ever notice that? Ever driven through a small town? You go through a small town in Texas and there's a sign out in front. Miss Madam Zoganga will come in and she'll tell your future. And I look at her house, I say, no thanks, I don't need that. You know what? I mean, it ain't working for you, sister. And not that I just judge that by that, but I mean, let's be smart. Okay, if the lady's got to move around in a tent, I don't need it. And I don't want to be involved in a bunch of that spiritual hokey stuff and given opportunities for demons to speak into my life, because you know what? There are a few things they do know. And they can say just enough stuff to you to get your attention. And you go, ooh. That was, how'd they know that? Well, because they've been living for a long time. That's how they know that. They pass information down. They've been alive since before the beginning of man. They've seen everything that's ever happened throughout history. They know what's going on. And sometimes they're able to be able, they know what the plan of Satan is. And so sometimes they're able to predict stuff, try to predict stuff through that. And they can also see how the angels are aligning and moving and where they're concentrating their attacks and their ministry. And they can try to predict some stuff out of that too. And sometimes they can try to get you to do things just by planting a seed in your mind. And they don't mind masquerading as God. They want to be God anyway. And so they don't mind calling themselves God. They don't mind calling themselves Jehovah God. And you've seen it. These guys go and they kill all these people. It's usually not a woman. Thank God. But you see these guys go kill all these people. And then he's, why did you do it? Well, God told me to. God's telling me things that are contrary to his word. He don't do that. He don't do that. I can tell you, if he's telling you to do something contrary to the written word of God, I can tell you real quick, I can give you a discernment that'll save your life. And I can give it to you in Texanese. That ain't God. That ain't God. I don't care what he's telling you to do. Sleep with somebody. Marry this hardhead over here that wouldn't know Christ if he bumped into him on the street. You know, do this kind of thing, do that kind of thing, and you feel like God's telling you that, you better go back and recheck. Because the Lord does nothing that is not found in his word. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, it says this. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the what? The dead on behalf of the living? And then it says this, to the law and to the testimony. What does that mean? Go to the Bible for your answers. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light in them. How many of you want to be seeking answers about your life from darkness? I didn't think so. Who, a couple of people raise their hand? Come down here real quick. No, you don't. You don't want to do that. You don't need that. You don't want that. No, you really don't. You don't want to get allied with that type of stuff. People get allied with that type of stuff, and then the next thing you know, they're calling me saying, Pastor, I've got stuff in my house. Can you come get it out? Really? Really? Are they saying, Pastor, I'm seeing stuff move around in my house, scaring me to death. Or, Pastor, there's people walking around in my house at night when I'm trying to go to sleep in bed. Serious. serious. We've done that. Darby and Mike have gone, and we've done that before. I've done that multiple times. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's happening in your house because you let it in, but somebody did. And the only way, you know what, the only thing they understand, unless Satan tells them to vacate that house, they're there. And the only thing that they understand is the name of Jesus. And so you have to get rid of them that way. But brothers and sisters, we don't need that type of communion. Everybody say, we don't need that type of communion. We don't want it, and we don't need it. All right? Now, in the story of Saul and the witch of Endor, the medium was prepared to pull up her familiar spirit, probably disguised as Samuel, or possibly just pull it up as an intermediary and have it speak to Saul or to her so she could give Saul a message. But something really strange happened here. Suddenly, instead of the appearance of her demon guide, somehow the spirit of Saul appeared. Samuel appeared there. Now we know, according in the New Testament, that there have been times where God has allowed the appearance of old-time saints to come with him and appear on the earth at certain instances. And when this medium sees this appearance, it throws her off. It wasn't what she expected. I kind of feel, and I may be wrong about this, but I really kind of feel like she was expected to see her spirit guide, and all of a sudden God intervened in the situation. And God said, Samuel, I got one more message for you to deliver. And all of a sudden, when she saw this Old Testament prophet began to appear on the scene, she began to get scared. And she began to quake, and she said, oh my God. And all of a sudden, revelation began to show itself, and she said, oh my God, I'm in the midst of something that the living God is involved in. And Samuel came out there, and he repeated to Saul the very message out of Leviticus 26. First of all, he told him, he said, why do you keep coming to God for answers when you know what the answer is? That's my paraphrase. Why do you keep coming? Everybody say, why do you keep coming? For an answer from God when you already know what the answer is. Why? He will not change his mind. He will not come up with an alternate answer. Well, I can see that you really don't want to do this, Pastor John. So I tell you what. Do this instead. God's never done that with me. Never. He's never said, Parky, I know you don't want to do this, so we'll change it. Never, ever, ever. Moses at the burning bush, I don't want to do this. Did God change the plan? No. God said, well, you're either going to go or you're not. And he said, I'll send your brother with you if that'll make you feel better. But my plan is this. And he said, go and do it. All right? And that's one of the first things to me Samuel is saying to Saul. Why are you seeking an answer that will appease your flesh when God has already told you what to do? And then Samuel repeats back to him. He has said, I've got a prophecy for you. Are you looking for a prophecy? He said, I've got one. He says, you forgot Leviticus chapter 20, where it says, if a person turns to mediums and necromancers whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. And he said, so therefore, here's the answer. Tomorrow, you and your sons will be among the dead. Wow, he says, you like to seek the dead? Welcome. He says, you're going to the dead on behalf of the living. You're seeking life and light from darkness and spiritual doom. He says, well, then you have just made your permanent home there. Brothers and sisters, just all of us do things out of ignorance. You know what I'm saying? And we've all done things out of ignorance. We've all been. We've just been there. But I don't know why the Lord told me to talk about this today, but it must be important to us because of where we are. Now, remember what the Apostle Paul happened, and I'm done. The Apostle Paul was out preaching one time in the book of Acts. I believe it was in Acts 16. And he was out preaching, and there was a servant girl of some people in town who made her fortune, her living by fortune-telling, and was able to get her, make her masters a lot of money by predicting the future. And she came along and got in contact with Paul when he's walking around spreading the gospel one day, and she began to say this over and over. She began to say, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are here to show us the way of salvation." Sounds like a good message, right? Man, maybe they should have grabbed that girl and used her in their salvation act. You know, get her on the stage like we do a lot of times and say, "Look at this girl, listen to her. I know she was among you now. Now she listened to the word that she's sharing." And you know, she followed them for a little while, and the Apostle Paul, he turned around and he looked at her and he said, "I don't accept your message because the spirit behind it is corrupt." He said, if the spirit's corrupt, the message is corrupt. Everybody say, if the spirit is corrupt, the spirit is corrupt, then the message is corrupt. The message is corrupt. How much poo-poo do you need? How much do you need before it's too much? How much do you need, Angela? Not much? You don't need any? You don't want any? No. She's just staring at me, buzzing her. Did you have a rough week this week? You okay? You all right? You sang beautifully this morning. It was really nice. Really good. You don't want any poo-poo in your milkshake, do you? No. And so God has given us an admonition. We need to be sure the message is from Him. But we also need to be sure the messenger is from Him as well. Because if the messenger is not from Him and we're involved in it in a familiar way, which means an ongoing way, then eventually the death and the lie behind that spirit that's a part of its agenda will be ministered to you. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So who do we look to for our direction? We look to a spirit, all right, but it's one called the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that Holy Spirit is sent to us to reveal to us everything we need to know and to bring to our remembrance everything that Jesus said. And He also said He will show you things to what? To come. Things that are to come. And He will lead you in the path of everlasting truth and purity and holiness. And we have this wonderful book right here through which we weigh every message that we ever hear. To be sure that message is from God. And if it's not, we don't receive it. And no matter how good the messenger is, no matter how much sometimes they may even glorify Jehovah, God, if the spirit behind that is not good, then we're going to keep ourselves free from the eventual contamination that will come through that spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so very much for this day. Lord, I just trust You in that. I give You praise. I thank You for sharing that with me. Lord, I just give it in the way You gave it to me, with faith that You are using it in the way You want to use it. Father, we honor You and we ask You to give us discernment and courage, Lord, to know that we are not going to let ourselves be polluted by aligning ourselves with anything, Father God, that is impure in message or impure in spirit. Father, we ask You to forgive us. Now let's just take a moment. If you've been involved in any type of stuff like this in the past, I don't want you to be afraid today. That's not what I'm trying to minister to you, is fear. I'm trying to minister discernment to you, okay? Don't be afraid if you've been in contact with these things in the past, because you know what? We can break the association with them right now.